Patriots getting set to play their final preseason game tonight as they take on the Tennessee Titans. With some insight on that, we turn to our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ in Boston. Hello there, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, wonderful.
You have enough protection? Do you have a line that will keep you safe, Michael?
Thankfully, no one's... Well, most of the time, people aren't trying to hit me, so I don't really need that much protection. The answer is no, I don't, just like Mac Jones.
So what do you think tonight? Will we see any of Mac Jones? And what does it say about the state of this team if they don't think they've got enough guys to protect him in this final preseason game?
Yeah, it's not good. That's never a sign you want to give out to the world, that you have such little faith in your offensive line that you can't even try to play a practice football game. So it's not ideal. It's not necessarily a doomsday for the season or anything, but, you know, week one is a coming, and I understand it's not exactly fully formed right now, but, man, the tackle situation on the right side is a bit of an actual concern, provided the guards come back, which I think both will be ready for week one. We'll see. You'll be okay when the real games start, but you'd really like to get some more live reps, especially losing the joint practices this week for an offense that's basically starting from scratch.
So what's your best guess as to what the starting offensive line might look like in a few weeks?
Well, I think they were very hesitant to move Nwenu back to tackle, even though he was excellent at it. I would put him back at tackle because it just seems like, A, Riley Reiff can play guard and can't really play tackle anymore, and B, finding a replacement guard just is so much. Tackles are such a rarity, such a rare commodity. Most teams have maybe one and a half good tackles. So if you have two and Trent Brown and Mike Nwenu, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. That being said, I don't think they will. I think they'll put Nwenu at right guard and try to piece it together at tackle, whether that's with City So, the rookie, whether that's with Calvin Anderson if he ever comes off non-football injury, or if Reiff goes back out there, or if Connor McDermott gets better. So it's one of those two spots. I just think if you put Nwenu at tackle, and you can kind of make it work at guard, but, man, it's not ideal. And we'll see, you know, when roster cuts next week, if, you know, where's Cole Strange's health and where Mike Nwenu is at, because with you have five guys. If one of them's out, the line's going to be pretty bad.
So who needs to play well tonight?
The kicker. I'm big on the kicker. I don't know if anyone cares about the kicker, but I was at practice the other day and watched the rookie kicker miss three straight kicks wide left, each one moving farther and farther away from the goalpost. So he's a kid they drafted. They traded with the Jets to move up to draft him. Bill Belichick not really keen on giving the Jets any draft picks. So that is a job that I think is very much on the line tonight. There's some other ones, you know, we want to, I guess if Kayshon Boutte has another game where he just pops and comes through with catches and scores another touchdown, then you kind of can't ignore it because you know some other team's going to scoop him up if he doesn't make your 53. So he's another guy I'm watching, a little bit more fun than the kicker, but it's a lot easier to watch the kicker. You know, you write something down every hour. It's a nice, easy track. That's what you're looking for.
Looks so far, it's early still, but it looks like the acquisition of Ezekiel Elliott's going to be a nice addition to this team because he seems to understand what his role is.
Definitely. And, you know, there's maybe a bit of humble pie having been eaten, having been a fourth overall pick, a superstar in the league, and really the last 2 years losing his starting job to Tony Pollard, who's been better, quicker, stronger, faster, whatever than him. But that being said, he's looked quicker than I expected. Having watched the Cowboys the past couple of years and just seeing Elliott kind of look like he's almost running through quicksand. He's looked quick. He's looked comfortable. There's been no hesitation from the second he stepped on the field. So he did stay in shape during his long unemployment streak there in the summer. He didn't just sit around. So I think you're right. I think he does understand it. I think we kind of take it for granted here because we think of the glory days and see them no longer here. But I think guys around the league still hold Bill Belichick in a really high regard. And especially we've seen that since that mass free agent signing in 2021 when every guy would come in and be like, wow, it was just an honor to meet Bill Belichick. I do think there is an element of that with someone like Ezekiel Elliott. So I think you're right in the role. And again, you're looking for someone to take the load off from Ramondre Stevenson because he's not, and no one really is anymore, going to be that, you know, bell cow back, if you want to use that word.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Are they a little deeper at wide receiver than we thought?
I think so. I mean, there's different people are going to give you a different guy that they think is going to have a big year. Like me, I think Kendrick Bourne is going to be their number one receiver. I've seen people say it's going to be Juju. I've seen people say it's going to be Devontae Parker. And I think what that is each week you're going to have a guy, you know, be the number one. And that's not number one in the sense of, you know, A.J. Brown getting doubled and having teams game plan for him, but number one in terms of just production, output, reliability. And I think they have a number of guys that can do it. And then you throw in the two rookies in Douglas and Booty. And, I mean, the guy that no one's high on right now is Tyquan Thornton. So I don't know how that shapes up. But if he is in the mix, he does have speed that no one else on the team has. So I do think there's no great receiver, but there's a lot of really good, solid receivers that I think everyone kind of overreacted when they said this team has the worst wide receivers in the league. I really don't think it's that dire at all.
Let's look at the defensive side of things. Is this team set up to get enough pressure on quarterbacks?
We'll see. You know, obviously Judon is the key to it. I know people are high on Uche, sort of like in that rising star type category. I don't know. I think so much of what he's able to do is based off defense is just, offense is focused keenly in on Matthew Judon. So we'll see. You know, Judon still hasn't had that whole season. He's been great. He's been a Pro Bowler the past 2 years, but I don't think it's a good system if he's designed to be the one guy that always has to get to the quarterback. So, we'll see on that. I still feel like they're maybe it's not quite the wide receiver situation, but it feels like they're maybe, I don't know, a piece or two short in being a defense that can really get after the quarterback.
And what about in the secondary now? Obviously, they're remaking things with some pretty big departures back there. But as long as both Jones stay healthy and available to play, they ought to be solid.
Yeah, well, yeah, you said it, healthy and available to play. We'll see on Jack Jones. We saw Christian Gonzalez get dinged up a little bit the other day. It's kind of, you know, we take it for granted, like a rookie's going to step in and be a day one starter, but he's been there since minicamp. So Christian Gonzalez is a pretty important part. I think he's going to get beaten, you know, his fair share of times as a rookie, but I think he's going to hold his own and give a representative number one cornerback showing that they didn't have last year. It frees up Jonathan Jones to play more of a position he's more comfortable in. I don't think he was well-suited to be a number one corner last year. So, I actually, yeah, and that stood out, too, throughout minicamp and training camp. The communication, we made a big deal. McCourty's gone. Who's going to be the quarterback of the defense? They communicate really well through Jabril Peppers, Adrian Phillips, Jalen Mills. There's a lot of communication going from the back to the front, out to the side. They seem to have a good group, and they're really just integrating one new player in Christian Gonzalez, who's kind of just outside playing man. So I think the secondary is pretty decent, too. It's the NFL. It's 2023. They're going to give up yards and touchdowns, but I think they got some playmakers that can, you know, if a turnover or two flips the game, they've got guys that can do it.
How much improvement have we seen from the staff? Obviously, it starts with Bill Bryan, but overall, it just seems like a much better professional football coaching staff this year.
Yes, I would hope so. It couldn't have gotten much worse. And that's another thing I was thinking. There's a story Tyler Dunn wrote on the Detroit Lions culture, and he got deep into the culture that Matt Patricia built in Detroit. And it's just so bad. And it's almost unfathomable that Bill Belichick would bring that into his system. And we saw how bad it was. And we saw there were factions of offensive players that didn't buy in. And it's just bringing that in was such a bad, bad situation that it really needed a complete overhaul, which they got. So, and not just that, I've been watching Joe Judge coach special teams, and he's just so good at it. You can tell the command of the what to just the knowledge and just comfort and actual expertise. It fits him well. So the special team should be better. I know he's quote unquote the assistant head coach, but he looks just like the special teams coach. So I think that was another area of weakness last year that's been fixed. So those little things, maybe we don't focus on it as much, but yeah, I think across the board, you're right. It's a much better, it's a much more representative NFL coaching staff.
You look around, the AFC East is going to be pretty tough this year, and all eyes because of Hard Knocks on the Jets. I don't know. Am I wrong to think that's going to end badly in New York for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it might be, because usually you watch Hard Knocks and you're like, man, this is going to be the greatest football team in the world. And then it's the Texans and they're like 3-13. But I'm watching this Hard Knocks. I'm like, the assistant coaches kind of seem like jokers down there.
Yeah.
The head coach is not as inspiring as I thought he was, you know, just by looking at him on TV. When you get inside the meeting room, some of those messages aren't exactly landing. And, you know, what stood out to me last week was the receivers coach asking the receivers, hey, guys, how did today go? What's your honest assessment? No one spoke. And then Randall Cobb had to be like, listen, I was just talking to Aaron. Listen, we're making a lot of mistakes. And if he doesn't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. So you got to clean it up. And it's like, man, it's not perfect. It's not, you know, plug and play, paint by numbers. Football is hard to make work with a new quarterback and a lot of expectations. So I don't know. I was high on them just from a talent standpoint. They were very good last year. I thought they were a quarterback away from really competing. So I still lean that way. But is there a possibility that it all blows up? Absolutely. It's looking really precarious if we're getting this inside view here.
Yeah, because I think, as we saw in Green Bay, when it goes south, the quarterback's going to start pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks ever. He's won one Super Bowl, and it was 13 years ago. So it's not coincidental. I know people say, like, winning isn't a quarterback stat. Well, there's no one more important to winning than the quarterback, and Rodgers is definitely not that. So I don't look at the Jets as necessarily a Super Bowl contender, but from our perspective, could they beat the Patriots twice? Absolutely, on paper. But, you know, I think ultimately we might be looking at, I believe they play Week 18, we might be looking at 2 8-8 teams, you know, with a playoff game to get in Week 18, which I wouldn't mind. I would watch for sure.
Well, that leads into my next question. Over-under on wins for the Patriots, I'm putting it at 9.
Ooh. it's feeling pushy. 9 is about, 9's like my comfort number. I could see it going as bad as 7 because, you know, there are some questions on the O-line. They have a tough schedule. But I could see it going as high as 10, but that's only if a number of things go right. So 9 is kind of my comfort number. So I guess if I had to go off that, I'd go under. But I feel like it's going to be 8-9, 9-8. And whichever way that goes could be the difference between a playoff game and going home again at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think you're right completely. Michael Hurley, WBZ Boston. Michael, thanks as always for checking in with us, and we'll talk with you again before too long. Have a good weekend.
You as well. We'll talk to you when the football really counts.
I can't wait. Thanks a lot, Michael.
See ya.